Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. What's going on? Nice to be back. Felt like I was gone a long time, but it was just one day. I'll tell you all about that momentarily. Meantime, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, very quickly, we are front-loading the program today. I've got three interviews, and they're all coming up in the first half of the show. I've got back-to-back interviews in hour number one. Coming up next segment, an NFL reporter, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson. Coming up at 9:40 Pacific time, 12:40 Eastern, Paul Christ, head football coach at Wisconsin. So we go back-to-back right there. In hour number two, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Ross Tucker. All three of those interviews coming up in the first half of the program. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. If there's something that you want to talk about from over the weekend and you were saving it for me today, you know where to find me. Do it right now. I'd bust open the opening segment for a right telephone call, for a good telephone call. Really quickly, I was not here yesterday because I was in Lubbock, Texas. Went to see Chris Beard, head basketball coach at Texas Tech. Had an unbelievable weekend. Had so much fun. It was great. He showed me a tremendous time. Great hospitality. Went in, saw the facility, saw where they work out, saw where they practice, saw where they meet, saw where he hosts his show. He's got this awesome studio right off the offices. Got a tour of Lubbock. It was an amazing time. I was there to sit down with him for the Men of March show, which airs on CBS and CBS Sports Network. So I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. I will tell you this, it lived up to the hype. My man's amazing. Had a great, great time with him, and that is the reason I was not here. Now, because I was not here, I have not had a chance to get into Andrew Luck in that situation. A lot of you have had your takes, your hot takes, your molten lava takes flying around. Let me get into this now. He announced his retirement on Saturday night, and it took 1 or 2 seconds for the molten lava to come flying in. Before I get into all the reaction to his decision, and I've got plenty of thoughts on that, I want to talk about the decision itself. Let's talk about the fact that a generational talent decided at 29 that it was time to walk away from the game. Now, in that moment, when the news dropped, it was shocking. But then you start to think about it. And I mean, think about it rationally, not as an irrational, butthurt Colts fan. But when you really think about it rationally, the shock wears off, and it makes a lot of sense. And that it's right. The absolute right call. And I'm happy this guy made that call. A couple of weeks back, I brought up the fact that Luck was not playing in a preseason game against the Browns, and that the issue he had been dealing with since March, a calf strain, had either moved or evolved or changed or grown or something. What it hadn't done in nearly 6 months since it had been noticed, was heal. So it's clear from the news on Saturday night that it might not be close to healing, and that it was another part of a four-year run of pain for Luck. He said it was a tough decision. In fact, he went on to say it was the hardest decision he's ever had to make. The hardest decision that he ever had to make. Quote, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, and rehab, and it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in and out of the season, and I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out of it is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy out of the game. End of quote. And he's made it clear this is not something that just happened. It's been ongoing, and he's tried to endure and get through it.
And this... Sorry. I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live. Taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation. And the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in. Come to the proverbial fork in the road.
You see, I'm not sure it's that even. It's not just a fork in the road. It was the end of one road and the start of another road. And it's pretty clear from watching that impromptu press conference that that was not a knee-jerk decision. nor was that an easy decision. Nor is he taking the easy way out. If anything, everything around him would have been saying, keep going, stay at it. He was looking like he was on a team, the best Colts team that he ever played on. He was coming off the best season he had ever had. If he could miss the first few games, get right, then play, he could be looking at a Super Bowl run. But he chose the smarter path. See, Andrew Luck is a really smart guy. That, to me, is a really smart decision. And not only is that not weak, not only is that not cowardly, that's courageous. This is not about toughness or proving how much you love the game. And I'll get to you losers who think that that is what this is about in a moment. And not that I should have to do it, but let me remind you of all the hits that this guy has absorbed, all the injuries he has suffered. This is about somebody who's been living in physical and emotional pain for four straight years and was facing the possibility of that continuing without an end. So don't come in and tell me that you would have toughed it out through a calf strain. Because clearly it wasn't a calf strain. Because if it were a calf strain, Luck would have played through it. Hey, I get it. It sucks. I get it. The timing's not ideal. And I get it. It sucks. It really does. But I'll tell you why it sucks. It sucks because we'll never get to see how good this guy could have been. Because when he was on the field, he wasn't just good, he was great. He was incredible at Stanford. He played a huge role in turning that program around. He was a two-time All-American, a two-time Heisman Trophy runner-up, the first pick in the draft by the Colts. The guy was a can't-miss pick, and he lived up to the hype. Every time he played 16 games, he was a Pro Bowler. How many times did the Colts win because of this guy? How many times did he single-handedly carry them to a win? And how much better would he have been now that he actually has an offensive line that can protect him? And by the way, a good way not to have your franchise quarterback retire before turning 30 is to put a legitimate offensive line in front of him before he turns 30. There is that. And how many more moments would there be like him bringing Indy back from down 38-10 in the second half to beat Kansas City 45-44 in the postseason? And don't come in and degrade this decision by saying that Andrew Luck is just weird, man. He's just a different cat, yo. He's complicated. We're inscrutable. We'll never really figure this guy out. Why? Because he has interests outside of football? Because he likes ping pong? Because he travels to Europe? That doesn't make the guy weird or unusual. It makes him human. It makes him a person with interests and with a life. Yes, he's on a team that could win a Super Bowl. Yes, he's coming off the best year of his career. This guy missed all of 2017 and then came back and played better than he ever had before. That's tough. That's badass. Doesn't make the guy soft. But a Super Bowl ring doesn't matter if you can't walk. An MVP trophy doesn't matter if you can't remember it. And a gold jacket doesn't mean jack if you can't put it on. Guy made the right choice. He made the right choice. He made the best choice. I'm happy he made that choice. A lot of you seem to have this amazing threshold for his pain and no concern for the quality of the rest of his life. This guy gave it everything he had. And now he's had enough and is ready to move on with his life. I would suggest that some of you do the same thing with yours. And the fact that some of you won't let this guy go or won't turn the page leads me to believe that you got no life to move on to. But this guy does. And he is. And he's doing the right thing. 1-800-636-8686. I know a number of you don't see it that way, which is fine. You're wrong, but it's fine. I've got no issue with this at all. Not only do I have no issue with this, I applaud the decision. He's making the right call. 1-800-636-8686. You notice who's not saying that he didn't get it right? His teammates, the guys he went up against, everybody who's played the game on that high level, the guys who came before him. It's almost universal. In fact, I can't find anybody who's saying this guy's not making the right call. So we could do an entire program on that. I won't, but I could. And I want to get into the reaction, more of the reaction to the announcement. All right, some other things today. Players' weekend uniforms. Yeah, I'm all about Major League Baseball doing what they have to do to stay relevant, stay fresh, stay interesting, change up a little bit. And there have been some moments in the past when the players' weekend uniforms went pretty well. Not this weekend. Ask some of the managers involved. 1-800-636-8686. 8-6, 8-6. Got through the proverbial third week of the preseason. Always an important week. The guys who have to play did play. They got their look. We know that the fourth week is not as important. We'll talk about where that leaves us as the season's about to start. On top of that, the hood, Bill Belichick, seemed to suggest that he really didn't know anything about Andrew Luck. And I've got thoughts on it. Let's see. First tweet is from Indy. Pauly T. Wall. Quote, "We don't blame Luck at all. Sometimes your dream job isn't all it's cracked up to be, and you got to walk away. Sign the XR4TI. War Dasmati filling his days attending Chamber of Commerce meetings. Yeah, Robert Dasmati quitting this job a few months in is almost exactly like Andrew Luck walking away from the Colts. Almost exactly the same. They're both rich. They both have other options. The job they were leaving was taking an incredible physical and emotional toll on the guys involved. Dasmati practically is Andrew Luck. Now, Andrew Luck, brilliant guy, Stanford man, lots of diverse interests, can move on to other things. Dasmati, brilliant guy, UC Santa Cruz man, I think. UC San Diego, I should say. Alvy's the slug, the banana slug. Dasmati's moving on to other things, too. The opening of parks. His run. His ultimate dream to be a Alhambra city council person. Yeah, he and Luck are exactly the same, Pauly. Dear Van Smack, I can't believe Andrew Luck quit. What's he going to do now? Work in city government? Sign Robert Dasmati? Casey, New Hampshire. War Ross sending the XR4TI pictures of himself chilling on Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, and every other government holiday while they grind for CBS. Man, Geller is getting a lot of run. I never saw that coming. I never saw all of you turning Andrew Luck's surprise retirement into a Ross Geller reset. Well, you're not going to let that go, are you? Yeah, I get it. It seems kind of strange and kind of counterintuitive that Dasmati left a dream job for a job in, like, city services. How about this, though? I'll turn this thing on its head. How about if that was his real dream and this was not? It's kind of like all of you saying, man, Andrew Luck, man, that's soft. He didn't love the game. He was afraid of work. You know, first of all, that's not true. The guy did love the game, and the guy was not afraid of work. The guy missed an entire year. I can't stress this enough. He missed an entire year, and he came back and had his best year ever. Maybe for Dasmati, city government is the game. It is the dream. Maybe he wasn't even working hard here. Well, I know that this was not the dream for him. Anyway, let's get back to work. Charles Robinson is coming up next segment. Paul Crist right after that. Better sleep can benefit basically anybody, which is why Casper created Sleptember. That's right, Sleptember, an entire month dedicated to rest and relaxation, from outrageously comfortable award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, and duvets. Casper is transforming the way we sleep. And with their Labor Day sale, you can save on the mattress of your dreams, and you can sleep better in Sleptember. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support. Four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort, zone support, and is designed to provide extra support to keep your back aligned with bedding, bed frames, and yes, even a dog bed now. Casper's got a bed for your dog. It's awesome. They've got everything you need to build the bed of your dreams. Rest easily with free shipping and free returns. Celebrate the kickoff of Sleptember with 10% off any purchase with a mattress today at Casper.com. Casper.com to save 10% on any purchase, which includes a mattress, now through September 2nd. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Let's get right to it. Coming up next segment, Paul Crist, head football coach at Wisconsin. But before we do that, we're joined by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Lots to cover with Charles Robinson. Oh, man, Charles, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing less well than I was a week ago.
How come? Talk to me. What's up?
Been a few things that have happened that have made the typically beginning to lull late end of the preseason a little spicier. So I just want to know, like, how did you absorb Andrew Luck's retirement? Where were you, and what went through your head when you heard this?
Hey, man, I'm doing this interview. No, it's fair, actually. You know where I was? I was in Lubbock, Texas. I was in Lubbock, Texas to talk to the head basketball coach at Texas Tech. So I was okay. Taking that all in there, but I saw the reaction, and I was kind of gathering it all in, getting ready for this show this morning because I was not on the air yesterday. I was going to say to you, what was your initial reaction to the news that Luck was retiring?
I didn't believe it. Like, I didn't. It was funny because what happened actually was our producer, I was in the middle of working on some stuff, and so I wasn't online. I wasn't, you know, all of a sudden I start getting all these text messages. The first one I pull up is our producer for our podcast. It's just WTF. But he didn't follow it with any information, which is kind of scary in our current climate.
Right. Like, it could be anything.
It could be anything nowadays. So, of course, I'm like, okay, either I just got fired or we're nuking a hurricane or it could be any number of things. So I went to Twitter. Obviously, I saw what, you know, Adam Schefter had dropped, which kudos to him. Unbelievable. And I was like, no way, it's a parody account. There's no way that's true. These people are stupid. And I start looking and I'm like, wow, this is real. And then next thing you know, it's just like popping. All these guys across the league, you know, whether I'm texting them or they're texting me, they're like, is this true? What are you hearing? Why did this happen? You know, is there something going on? I think it just stunned every. I thought the greatest reaction was when Jason Garrett was told in his press conference. You see Jason Garrett, he almost shrinks like 3 inches just from like sitting there and trying to process the words that he had just heard. It made no sense.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. He's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. You know, as I think about it as well, when I was in Texas, I did do that. I tweeted WTF, and I left it that. I mean, what did you think when you saw his press conference and then laid out the reasons behind his decision and all the pain that he had gone through? Then what did you think?
I thought he was relieved. Like, that's when as I watched it, I was like, he almost seems relieved. Like, he was smiling a lot. Like, obviously there were the tearful moments. But it felt like he was kind of getting this off his chest that had been weighing on him for a while. And it was odd because it was being released in the way that he had not anticipated. Obviously, it was supposed to happen the next day. His parents were flying in, like all this different stuff. And then he comes off the field. People are booing him. It's like the most chaotic moment it could have possibly been. Like you said, he's wearing a T-shirt. And then yet he seemed like it was this release, like just getting it off his chest. And when he talked about all the injuries, I sat there and I thought the same thing I thought when Barry Sanders retired, Calvin Johnson, even Gronk. I'm like, this guy's coming back, right? Like, this guy's coming. This is just an overreaction. But then when I listened to him, all that entered my mind is this sounds like done. Like, he's thought this through. He clearly, this has been a problem for a long time. And he is definitely looking at the next multiple decades ahead, not next year.
Charles Robinson is our guest. So what do you make of people suggesting that Andrew Luck might not be that tough, that retirement isn't actually a retirement, but he's just quitting and looking for the easy way out?
No, I just don't buy it. I think you don't know. People have to understand the nature of those injuries. And like, so for one of them, the lacerated kidney, you know, when he's urinating blood. When I was in college, I had a roommate who lacerated his kidney in a high speed car accident. That's how that happened. And he kind of went through the same thing. His kidney function wasn't right for a couple of months. He went through urinating blood. Like, imagine that. Like, you're a football player and he finished a game with a lacerated kidney. So you get into a high speed car accident, then you go back out for more high speed car accidents the rest of that game. Right. That's one thing. Then the labrum, then, you know, the foot problem that's obviously been something that's been lingering for a while, the ribs. It's just the litany of injuries for the longest time. You know, you get worn down by it. And I think people have to understand we're entering an era where the money is so big in the NFL. Guys like Gronk, guys like Andrew Luck, they can start to listen to their body rather than sitting there and going, you know, what about all this money I'm left on the, you know, I'm going to be leaving on the table. Andrew Luck earned $100 million in cash. Well,
you can listen to that and listen to your body rather than sitting there and going, well, there's $300 million left on the table. Some guys, I think, are going to be more inclined to listen to their body. And I'll give you one quick story here.
Sure.
I know I'm taking up time, but here's a quick story to maybe understand why Andrew Luck's definitive. A couple years ago, I was talking to Peyton Manning. He says to me, I remember when Andrew Luck was you know, in this process of deciding whether or not he was going to come out, you know, his junior year at Stanford. So, you know, Manning's phone rings. It's Luck. He thinks, this kid's calling me to ask my advice about whether I should go to the NFL. He answers, Luck called him to say, yeah, I'm going back. I just want to let you know I'm going back. Like, I'm not seeking your advice. I've thought this through on my own. I'm analytical about it. What I'm actually asking you now is, now that I'm going back, let's talk about what I'm going to go through my last year at Stanford. I think that speaks a little bit to how he formulates things in his mind, makes decisions in his own mind without listening to other people. If you're not going to listen to Peyton Manning about the biggest decision of your life, you're going to listen to yourself. Going into the NFL, you're probably going to do the same thing going out.
It's a good story. I like that. I'm glad you shared that. All right, so what about the Colts fans? Although I didn't ask you specifically about the dopes that were booing him, you kind of got into that when you explained that you have to understand what this guy, what everybody who's ever played in the NFL has had to go through. But do the Colts owe their fans, the fans who have bought season tickets, do they owe them anything to make this thing right?
I think there is a fair question to be asked. You know, given that, look, Irsay came out at one point, what kind of raised my eyebrow was when Irsay came out and said that, you know, he clearly had known that, you know, Andrew Luck was thinking about this for a period of time. And he told, you know, Andrew Luck, he was like, I was looking at it like from a father's standpoint, you know, I'm telling him to take your time, think this through. Well, they know this is happening. You know, they know that this is hanging in the balance. And then there came a point where they knew and had to actually make the decision to not claw back money. They knew he's out of the equation for us. Whatever season tickets you sold during that span, you probably owe a refund, honestly. Like, or you owe the ability for people to return those season tickets. Because as I wrote about this, I'm like, look, when you pay Bruce Springsteen prices, you don't want to see someone else in front of the E Street Band. Like, you're going to see Bruce Springsteen. He's one of the rare quarterbacks who sells tickets. Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers. There are a few of these guys, Patrick Mahomes. When those guys are out of the equation, you have to sit there and weigh, is this really fair to our fans? I know no one wants to worry about being fair to fans, but I would just focus it through this prism. You just said to Andrew Luck, hey, circumstances change for you. We could get our $24.8 million in unearned bonuses back from you, but we're going to let you walk with that. Now you're going to turn around to your fans and you're going to go, hey, we know circumstances have changed, but we're keeping your hundreds or thousands of dollars. Not a great PR optic, at the very least, for the Colts.
So really quickly, let me ask you about that near $25 million in bonus money that they could try to fight for and try to get back. Is it because, quote, circumstances change and maybe that's a going away gift to him? Or are they trying to leave a good taste in his mouth in the event that they try to convince him to come back down the road?
I'm with you. I think it's the latter, and I think it's the good taste. I think it's them sitting there going, look, he's going to turn 30 in a week or 2 weeks. There's a large window here. This is a guy who could return in a year or 2 years or 3 years. Let's not burn that bridge. Let's go ahead and say, keep the money. Let's not do what the Lions did with Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson and you know, make their defining piece who could still come back into the equation irate. Let's ride this out and see what happens. I think it's a smart investment. And, you know, to me, just be prepared for Andrew Luck to be connected to every quarterback needy team the next 5 years, because it's going to happen. Every time a team loses a guy, people go, what about Andrew Luck?
He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, and you know that's exactly what's going to happen. Also a co-host for the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, Charles Robinson, all over it. Charles, great to have you back, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
You got it. Well done. All right, so I've given you my thoughts on Andrew Luck, and then you've got a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo coming in with his thoughts. Now I'm looking for your thoughts. You've had all weekend to think about this, ruminate on this, tweet about this. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Next segment, we talk Wisconsin football. Paul Christ sent Jake and Janet to Wisco late last week. They're there. They're getting ready to begin college for the fall semester. And clones, got to be honest, I'm going to miss Friday too because I will be in Wisconsin with them for the big move-in. But before I do all that, I'm going to talk to the head football coach, Paul Christ. That's coming up next. Ross Tucker coming up next hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. College football is back, and that means CBS Sports Network's team of experts returns to the studio to tackle all the hottest topics on the gridiron. Do not miss Inside College Football tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Speaking of which, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Wisconsin. He is entering his fifth season as Badgers head coach, a two-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. He led the Badgers to a pair of divisional titles and four straight bowl wins. Wisconsin is number 17 in the preseason coaches poll, and they open up at USF Friday night. We are joined by Paul Christ. Paul, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Paul, so it's game week. How is life right now, and how good does it feel to be a few days away from starting the season officially?
It is an exciting time of the year, obviously, and you know, you think back and how much time, you know, not just our team, but every kid that's playing college football, you know, all the work in the wintertime and spring football and summer and fall camps, and now for the season to be upon us, it's always exciting, and looking forward to this week, and you know, you're gonna find out more about your team, and you know, we've got a good challenge ahead of us playing South Florida down there, but it's an exciting time of the year, certainly.
Paul Christ joining us. In terms of that challenge, you are going to play South Florida in August, so as a result, hydration has been a really big talking point. How do you go about preparing the players for that and making sure everybody's right mentally and physically for that challenge?
Well, you do try to do as much as you can as far as what you control, and certainly, you know, hydrating, you know, really all week, and certainly from this point on, you know, got to make sure they're doing that, not where they're having to play catch up. And you know, it is hard to, you can't mimic and simulate the heat or the humidity that we anticipate getting, and so you just got to try to do as, you know, as well as you can, prepping them for. But you know, we've had, actually, it's been a beautiful fall camp weather-wise, which isn't necessarily helpful for the opener, but you try to do as much as you can, and then you know, you've got to be able to embrace it. And certainly, you know, this time of year, you know, we got a lot of guys that are healthy and ready to go, and going to need everyone that goes on that trip to be able to participate and help us play and help us win.
Wisconsin head football coach Paul Christ is joining us. So why don't we talk about a few of those guys? I mean, there's a number of different places where I could start when it comes to this year's team, but why don't we start with Jonathan Taylor? He's coming off a sophomore year where he rushed for nearly 2,200 yards. He won the Doak Walker Award. Now, you've been around a lot of really special running backs in your time at Wisconsin. Where does Taylor rank among the best in school history?
Well, it's a good place to start when you're talking about our team. And you know, what he's done his first 2 years is really remarkable. And you're right, we've been fortunate. And I've been fortunate to be around a lot of great backs. And you know, he's right in the conversation with the best of them. And you know, it's each back's a little bit different, you know, so when you just compare one to the other. But, you know, and it's fun, and it's really been neat for me to see him kind of get the chance to meet and talk with and be around. You know, this summer Melvin Gordon was back, and James White, and to see just those three interacting, and I think that obviously, you know, Jonathan, he looks up to him, you know, and appreciates and knows what they did. And you know, Ron Danes, he's in town and around campus, and you know, Terrell Fletcher, who played, you know, a number of years in the NFL, came back, and it's fun to see certainly JT, and he appreciates what they've done, but really to see how they interact with Jonathan, and you know, there's a mutual respect. And so, you know, I think Jonathan said it best when he says, if you're in the conversation with that group, that's it's pretty humbling. And he is a great, obviously a great football player, but when you're around him and you see how he works and how he treats people and how he goes about every day on and off the field, he's truly an impressive young man.
Paul Christ is joining us. You know, when I was back there last year and I saw the Rutgers game, I saw to a certain extent what you're talking about, because I saw Ron Dane, and I saw how excited Ron Dane was to be around the program. And it's not just the former players who come back and give back. You've got a number of Badgers who are on your staff. In fact, you've got 5 of the 11 coaches on your staff who are Badgers, which is tied for the most alumni on any staff in FBS. Now, that doesn't mean that the non-alumni on the staff are not equally committed, but how valuable is it to have Badgers coaching Badgers?
You know, I think it certainly is something that you appreciate, and it's, you know, I think because of all the circumstances, it makes it a little bit unique. You know, when you're putting together a staff, you just want to put together the best group of people and guys that can truly help, you know, the players that they're coaching, you know, grow on and off the field. And since so much of my time was at Wisconsin or tied in with Wisconsin, you know, you find yourself going to people that you truly know. You know who they are. You know when it's good times, when times are tough, and yet I think that it just adds another element to understanding and appreciating this place. And you're right though that you know some of our best coaches are ones also that haven't, you know, this is their experience with Wisconsin. I think having that blend is healthy, and certainly feel fortunate to, one, be doing what I'm doing anywhere, but to be able to do it here and with a group of people, it makes it really special.
Wisconsin head football coach Paul Christ is joining us. They open up their season against South Florida. You mentioned, or I should say you named Jack Cohn, the starting quarterback. Now, he'd been playing with the ones throughout practice, so it's not exactly a shock when the depth chart's released, but what did you see in him that let you know that he was the man for the job?
You're right. You know, it wasn't a shock, certainly, to the players. And, you know, I've loved seeing kind of how he's progressed from last year. And certainly last year had some, you know, some very good moments and then had some moments, especially in his first couple starts, where, you know, there's a lot to learn from and grow from. And I think he's taken advantage of that. You know, when you can take a look at that kind of body of work that he had last year and how can you learn from it and grow from it, work on, you know, some of the things in the actual kind of skills or mechanical parts of that. And then also just, I think, being around the team and continuing to demonstrate, you know, who he is, that's been impressive. And I've liked, you know, the way that all of our quarterbacks have played in fall camp. And yet, you know, Jack, I think it's, you know, has earned the right to start. And we got to keep developing. We got some good young quarterbacks behind him. So I like that group. But Jack certainly earned it. And our team is confident with him and appreciates who he is. And I think everyone believes gives us the best chance right now.
You know, and then as head coach, you have to like hearing this. They're confident in him, but he's confident in your culture. He said as much, quote, "I'm confident in the culture of this program. I feel like the culture that Coach Christ and all the other coaches have put in place is going to remain strong throughout all the ups and downs we experienced last year. The culture is what breeds winning." First of all, as head coach, how happy are you to hear that? And then how would you describe the culture that you want to put in place there?
Yeah, it does make you feel good, and I think that's the most important thing that you do. And you do know every team, and it doesn't matter. You know, a couple years ago we had a great season and ran the table. There's still adversity within that, and there's going to be good times. And for players to kind of recognize that, know that, you know, there's kind of a balance. You know, you've got to bring your part and do your part in it, but you don't have to. And the great thing about being on a team is you're not doing it by yourself. And I do appreciate and think that the important thing is, you know, the guys care about each other. And I think this team truly does care about each other. And you hear it all the time. But what's fun is I think, you know, these guys actually believe it and feel it and know it. And so I think that gives you a lot of confidence. I think it also puts a, you know, nice sense of accountability or responsibility to the group. If you know everyone's doing their part, why wouldn't you? And I think it's a chance for everyone to kind of uplift each other. And we know that it's never going to be perfect. And, you know, you might have a great day or great game, but not every player did. And how can you help them through that, knowing that they're going to have your back? So it's something you got to work on every day and all the time, and you've never arrived at it, but I do appreciate this group and the way they're approaching it.
We're talking to Paul Christ for a couple of more moments. You know, when you mentioned accountability and responsibility, it seems to me that a lot of other programs, if they go 8-5 and they win a bowl game, that's a reason to party. But for you in Wisconsin, I mean, you could even argue maybe it was a bit of a disappointment. How did you go about processing that and learning from it?
Well, it is interesting, right? Because, you know, it's all perspective and whatnot, and I think that, you know, we tried to just draw on the last couple seasons, really what these guys have known to be their experience. And then you've got a group that's, you know, maybe was only part of one of those years, or some, you know, the freshmen weren't part of it at all. And just what are the takeaways that you can go? And guys have been, in this way, you appreciate, they've been open and honest and sharing those. And you can learn from all of our experiences, the good and the bad. And really, you know, there's going to be talk, you know, each year on what this team could be or should be. And all that matters is who are you, really. And so I think if we can be in that moment, I think you got your best chance to maximize it and just try to make the most of those moments. And I think then they're going to enjoy their experience. And so I've appreciated this group's done a good job, you know, the good and the bad. They've kind of just owned it first of all, and then, okay, what can we take away from it and apply so this year we can be a little bit better?
And then, Paul, one last thing is, some people know back in the day, you lived next door to Mark Johnson, the Wisconsin women's hockey coach, a USA Hockey icon and legend. My son Jake and my wife Janet just spent some time with Mark and Tony Granato yesterday on campus. What kind of conversations did you have with Mark back in the day?
Well, it was Mark and his wife, Leslie. They're great, great people, and obviously, you know, has a heck of a history, and even what he's doing now, you know. But he's, you can talk to him, and I love just picking his brain, hearing what he'd have to say about anything from kind of what he goes through as a coach, as a dad. You know, you talk about two of the best people when you talk about Tony Granato and Mark Johnson, and I think that's one thing that I've really appreciated. Coach Alvarez is hired really good people, and there's always something to pick from and learn from, and while you're doing that, you're sitting around. And I'm a hockey fan, so when I'm talking to those two, there's a little bit of that excitement. Just, this is really who it is. I mean, I remember following Mark and you know, certainly the 1980 Olympic story, and on that, and yet he's so humble, and you got to bring it up, otherwise he's not gonna bring it to you. But it's great people.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because my son, who is 18, really does not have a background for that sort of thing. He didn't I mean, he knows the story about the team, but he didn't know Mark Johnson. He didn't find out till after the fact how accomplished he was and how pedigreed he was. And Jake, my son, was just blown away, like, Dad, you cannot believe how big this guy is and how humble he is and what a great guy he is. Like, he literally didn't know anything about him until long after he'd already left.
Oh, and even like, you know, that age group, right? And they know about the movie,
right?
Miracle, but that's about it. And no, it was actually a true story. And I remember when Mark spoke to our team, you know, and a lot of guys were like, wow, didn't they put it all together, just like what you're saying. And it's, you know, I remember Tony saying, you know, arguably in many circles, there's the best American hockey player ever. And kind of like we were talking with Jonathan, if you're in that conversation, it's pretty impressive. But who he is as a person, what's really what makes him unique.
Yeah, and not only that, but your running back coach, John Settle, said, I'm not even sure that kid knows how good he can be. Like, he plays as if the guys around him are better, but he's not even sure how good that Jonathan knows he is or could be. Is that a fair statement?
I think it is a fair statement. I think that's one of the – and it's been great for all of our players to see. You know, that Jonathan's got a tremendous work ethic. I think that's part of his competitive edge, and I think it starts from, you know, how he was raised as a kid. And I think he certainly has – confidence in himself, but he also knows that he hasn't arrived, and he will work on every little detail, and that's what's fun. And certainly I think the great ones, you know, have that ability, that they have that talent, and they have the work ethic, and you put it together, it's some special things can happen. And certainly, you know, he's on that track, and you know, he'd be the first one, and we shouldn't say it either. He's not arrived by any means, but it's he is fun to be around and to see him go through this, and every step of his journey, it's been fun to watch and be a part of.
Wisconsin, number 17 in the preseason coaches poll, and they open up their season at USF Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Their head coach, Paul Christ, joining us. Paul, it's so good to have you back. I appreciate your time very much. Look forward to seeing you again soon, and thanks for doing that, Paul.
Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you. Thank you very much, Coach Paul Christ, Wisconsin head football coach. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. And some of you dopes are starting already. I didn't even say goodbye to him before this one popped in. Hey, Rome, you put a new meaning to helicopter parenting, having Paul Christ a day after dropping Jake off. I love it. Signed, Marv and LeVar. Next level stuff. Hey, LeVar. Whoever's the dope who sent that. At least wait until the interview's done. It's got nothing to do with that. We book out. You know this. We book out. And they haven't even started school yet. Jake's not even in his dorm yet. They just went early. Janet and Jake. Logan and I are going to catch up with them before the end of the week. He moves in this weekend. And that's where that is. And Wisconsin's going to open up their season against USF Friday night. 1-800-636-8686. All right, still ahead. Ross Tucker, that's coming up next hour at 20 past. I also want to get into all the Twitter tough guys questioning Andrew Luck's heart, questioning his desire, questioning his toughness, saying what you would do if you were him, saying there's no way a calf strain would have ever kept you out of playing. saying that he let down his teammates. I want to get to all of that when we come back. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. You've got your phone number. Go ahead and use it.